Welcome to the preaching ministry of Dale Scribner, Senior Pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship, located in Olympia, Washington. Let us join Pastor Dale as he shares today's message.
But when I give Sherry my text for the Sunday sermon, she puts the music together, and I don't change a thing about her selections. And I don't know if you notice or not, but she always has a theme of the songs that she picks out. Now, Tuesday morning, I was at the hospital at 6:30. I drank lots of coffee to get up at that hour, believe me. And as I went into the surgical floor where Tom was about to be operated on, a RN escorted me down to his room. And she asks me, "Now, where do you fit into this equation?" And I said, "Well, I'm one of his pastors." And she patted me on the shoulder, and she told me how glad she was that a pastor came to pray before the surgery. And then I spent some time with Tom before his surgery. It's always my custom, I've done this for years, that when anyone in our church is having surgery, I'm there before the surgery takes place. And so I prayed with Tom. Tom's a wonderful man, get to know him. And he's a passionate fisherman, Bob and Jim. And Gary, there's another fishing guy around. But anyway, the nurse was filling out the charts, and the doctor was surveying his itinerary for the surgery. And the nurse said, "Okay, Pastor, it's okay for you to pray now." And I said, "Right now?" And she says, "Right now." And that's the first time I can ever recall praying for someone before they went into surgery in the presence of the RN and the surgeon. And I mentioned them in my prayer. And I left wondering how they felt about that. I'm sure they were appreciative. God does his part, and technology does that part. But Tom had a four-way bypass heart surgery. They put in a pig valve. And he's ready to leave ICU if they can find an empty bed for him in the hospital. So I thought about that. A pig valve. I used to slop pigs as a kid. And when I was slopping those pigs, I did not have the wildest imagination ever in my mind that one day a pig valve would extend the life of people with heart problems. But it works. Oink, oink, it works. And so we're glad that the worst is over, and now, so where we need courage and patience to set in on their rehab with Tom. Bill is such a complicated person physically. Well, I guess he is in more ways than one, but he's really a nice guy. He's been around this church for a long, long time. Loves to sing. And if it isn't one thing that plagues Bill, it's another thing. Had a back surgery not too long ago. And he walked out of that hospital with no problems at all, got down to Mother Joseph, could walk, and has intense pain. And so last Tuesday, they were transported up to Puyallup to see the doc to find out what's going on. He indicated to Bill and Sandy that it wasn't the back surgery that was causing the problem, it was his hip. And so here's another window opening of possibilities that might need to be fixed there. But so pray for Bill and pray for Tom. And he's in Mother Joe Bill is. And he has this MRSA virus. That's kind of been debated whether or not it's infectious. But because Reese has no immune system, my visits with Bill is confined to the telephone for obvious reasons. But you're too good for Bill if you'd pop in there and perk him up a little bit and encourage him. Sometimes when we are flat on our back, sick, we think, well, no one misses me. No one cares about me. We're so busy with our schedules. But a phone call or a pop-in visit would do wonders to perk up people who are recovering from their setbacks. We're talking today about building a faith that will last forever. Building a forever faith. 2 Peter chapter 1, the first 11 verses. We have completed 1 Peter. Now we're going into 2 Peter. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you brought us together. It's an honor to be with the family of God in this atmosphere of faith and love every Sunday. And we are gathered here to honor your name, Lord. It's precious time we spend together each week. And Heavenly Father, we in praying make a declaration of our total dependency upon you. We are an independent church, but we very much depend upon you. And we're declaring today that we need your help, Lord, to help us understand and to put into practice that which is in your word that you provided for us. Help us to do that, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever noticed how much building activity is taking place in our community? It seems like whatever section of town you drive by, there's construction going on. Now, there was once a bunch of trees growing down there on the corner of Hawks Prairie Road and Marvin Road, there by the Target warehouse. And I said a few years ago, one of these days, those trees are going to come down and they're going to level the ground and they're going to build condos or houses on that acreage. And sure enough, that's exactly what they are doing. Now, what's really interesting to me is that whenever I see a building construction taking place and I see the ground being prepared to lay the foundation, I always think about the brains behind this project. Whoever had the brains and the vision to walk around that piece of property and then to go back to the drawing board and draw the schematic diagram, the blueprint from which the contractors could put up a building of their dreams. And it's only the contractor that knows what that finished product is going to look like. You can even walk out there on that piece of property where just the cement foundation has been poured, and you can walk around that property with the contractor, and he will tell you exactly how the office is going over there, the second story is going to be going up here, and another office over here. He has it all laid out, mapped out in his mind. He can see it. You couldn't see it, but he can see it. Now, this past week, I had a vision, and I have a dream. It's a new dream. Now, we have two buildings on our piece of property in addition to the house. We have a man cave, which has yet to be built out, but it's already built out in my mind. And then I have a ton of music. I have music that I have forgotten that I had. And out there in that hangar, I began to unpack boxes and clean up a little bit. And I began to put up bookshelves and record cabinets. And the thought occurred to me that I'm going to call this Dell's Music Library. And you can walk into this finished building. And you can see all my albums on display, all my cassette tapes. I got a lot of cassette tapes and 8-tracks. I've got close to over 1,000 8-tracks. How many remember listening to music on an 8-track? I have half a dozen 8-track players. I have about 5 old antique radios. I got all kinds of knickknacks out there that I can put on display. I also have a recliner out there. I have room to set in now. And that's going to be Dell's Music Library, different from Dell's Man Cave. Now, when you walk out there and walk into that building, you can't see it. But I see it. And Lord willing, one of these days when it's finished, we're going to throw a big party out there and have you come and sit and enjoy my music library and walk through my man cave. Wow. But as I was preparing this lesson, it's all about building a strong faith that's going to last a lifetime. And so I thought about this Leaning Tower of Pisa in Italy. No contractor would even think about building a structure like that in this day and age. They wouldn't do it. The reason why this Leaning Tower is so famous is not because of its height. It's only 179 feet tall. And it's not because of the Romanesque architecture. Oh, that's a great piece, property, and study about. But that's not why it's so famous. It's famous for one reason and one reason only. It leans. It's a leaning tower. How would you like to go up to the top floor and have dinner in that leaning tower? No, thank you. Not me. Now, some of us have been up on the Space Needle to have a tower. That's completely different from this leaning tower. And experts told us that it was supposed to fall in 2007. But that leaning tower started to fall the moment it was constructed back in the year 1173. It falls at the rate of 1/20th of an inch every single year. Now it's presently 17 feet out of plumb. I have a question for you. What do you want your life to look like? Do you want your life to resemble some freaky tourist attraction that's leaning? Or do you want your life to reflect the life that is solid, that is helpful to people around you, and that is permanent? So what kind of a life are you building? That's kind of the theme of today's message. And these are the thoughts that are in Peter's mind as he pins 2 Peter. It's all about growth. Spiritual growth. This is a good lesson on discipleship. It's all about the audience taking what Peter has previously written in chapter 1 and developing from that. 2 Peter is a little different now from 1 Peter. And 1 Peter, he's concerned about the dangers from the outside, like persecution, oppression. But in 2 Peter, there's a difference. Peter is more concerned about dangers that are coming from the inside in terms of deception and false teaching. And believe me, there's a lot of false teaching being done today in our culture. And millions have been drawn to these false teachings. And books have been written full of false teaching. I'm going to be addressing some of these false teachings as we get into the second chapter, but I don't want to rock your boat or blow you out of the water if I talk about one of the books that you may be gravitating to. I'll give you a preview. I've been asked over the years, some recently, Dale, what do you think about this book called The Shack? There's even a movie about The Shack. I want to tell you that that's false teaching. It does not sync with the scripture. Before you read any book, you better have a good knowledge of what the Bible has to say. And when you put that book up against the Bible, you're going to come to your own conclusion. Well, this doesn't jive. This isn't right. This isn't true. This guy's off, is off his rocker. So it's really, really important that we know what the Bible says. And so my passionate, heart-driven desire is that people who attend New Hope know your Bible. That's why we're going verse by verse, chapter by chapter. I'm not interested in talking about five keys to a successful relationship. I'm not interested in talking about 10 ways to make you happy. I'm not interested in talking about how to build your self-confidence. I'm talking about, you got to know your Bible. That's why we go through this verse by verse, chapter by chapter. What does the Bible say? And build your life upon the foundation of God's Word. That way you will have success. Don't forsake the Bible for other books that are out there. Become a master of knowing God's Word. That's what 2 Peter is all about. At the very core of this whole introductory chapter, in this section, is all about spiritual growth. So, you got your Bibles open. There's a detailed outline on the back table. Your bulletin is there for you. And if you are a wise person, all of you are, I would say a good way to take these messages in that detailed outline is to take it home and put it in a notebook. That becomes your commentary. So when you go through one of these books that we have been going through, like Peter, for example, you can flip the pages over and, oh, that's a refresher course for you. Most times when you go to church, you can hear a sermon on Sunday and you won't remember what the guy said on Wednesday. I won't even remember what I said on Wednesday if I don't have the notes. So it's really, really important to study, to show yourself approved, a workman unto God. And so, this is how this 2 Peter is being written. I want to just reiterate the last verses of this text this morning. Therefore, brethren, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, see, if you do these things, you will never stumble. You won't become this leaning tower in your faith. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now we have sat right here in this church over the years, and with a heavy heart and a bereaved heart, we have had memorial services for people who used to sit where you sit today. And they're in heaven now. They're living out this principle in this verse. Abundantly, they are walking into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord. It's wonderful news. So here's another question for you. Are you growing up, or are you just growing? That's a good question to ask yourself from time to time. We're all growing older. If you don't think you are, take a look at how you looked 10 years ago, 5 years ago. You have a hard time recognizing yourself 20 years ago. We all are growing older. But we also know that growth is just a normal part of life. Whenever there's birth, there's growth. And that's what we expect to see. Now, when we have children, we are willing to put up with the noise and the inconvenience and the messes and all the other stuff that goes with it in babyhood and early childhood, because we are aiming that one day we are going to harvest a crop of a teenager that is mature, that is productive, that is responsible, that knows the Lord, knows the Bible. And we mark that growth, and we get excited on every birthday. Every birthday that we have is a special big day to celebrate. Now, I don't like a lot of parties. That's just me. I'm more of a solitude person. And so I had a very quiet, enjoyable, restful birthday on the 28th. Played 76 trombones. The house we live in, the owner left a measuring stick by the pantry door. It's still there, where every year they would measure the growth of their children on their birthday. I'm sure they must have kept the record of their growth year after year. Well, with the Christian life, it begins with birth. The Bible says you must, not an option. You must be born again. But we are to continue to grow. We are continue to develop. We begin to blossom in our walk with the Lord and our understanding of the Scriptures. We get to know God more and better each day as we study His Word and as we interact with other Christians and as we attend church and Bible studies. Now, there are four principles, four prerequisites that we need to know if we're going to build a Christian life that doesn't lean but is stable. And before I share with you those four prerequisites, two of them this week, two more next week, I want you to know that there are two overarching principles about growth that we need to know. Two principles that are general, overarching principles about spiritual growth. Number one, your spiritual growth has nothing to do with your physical age. That's a fact. You can be an older person, but a spiritual infant. Charles Spurgeon said this way, there are children in the Church of God who are 70 years old. But he also said, on the other hand, there are wise and instructed and stable folk who are relatively young. So physical age and spiritual maturity aren't necessarily equal. That's the first principle. The second principle is, you can grow spiritually as much as you want to grow. It's up to you. Grow as much as you want to grow. And that brings us to the central theme of what Peter is getting at. The secret is using the tools that God has provided for us. Notice what he says. Once you have the faith that he gives you, you obtain like precious faith. Obtain. We've got it. That's the new birth. Born again. Verses 1 and 2. And then you must grow in that faith. Verse 3 through 11. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at our life as a Christian as a building structure. Building something that will last forever. And there are four prerequisites that we need to know to build the faith that will last forever. I'm talking about two of them this week, two more next week. First one is, you got to get the right investor. Got to have the right investor. You got to find someone who's going to bankroll this project. Now, when that contractor went out on that piece of property before it was developed, he had a dream. He had a vision. He had it all laid out in his mind. Then he had to find a bank or a financial institution that would bankroll that project that he has in his mind. He's got to find an investor. And our investor is God. He gives us the gift of salvation. But he also has two things that are really, really important. These are his tools to build our life, a faith that will last forever. Number one, he has the power. He has the power. Look at verse 3. Here's the power. As his divine power has been given to us, all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Have you ever thought about what the divine power is capable of doing? Divine power, that's what created our beautiful universe. Divine power can sustain all the natural forces of our natural world. He holds the whole world in his hand. And what is awesome to think is that God is so big, he can be everywhere at once, and yet he is so small, he can be right here in this room sitting next to you. That's how big God is. Divine power, it can heal the sick. Divine power can raise the dead. Look what Jesus said, Matthew 28. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." So here's the deal. You can grow as much as you want to because we have access to God's power. We have access to God's power. Now, 2 years ago, when we moved out on Johnson Point off of 63rd, I was told that you better have a generator out there because the power oftentimes goes out. So we went down to Costco 2 years ago and bought this big generator. And put it in the detached garage. Been sitting in that garage ever since I bought it. Haven't used it.
We all have
them. Yeah. Haven't used it. And my neighbor said, "Dale, it's a funny thing. We haven't had a power outage out here in the last 2 years." And I said, "Well, John, do your math. How long have we been here?" 2 years. But in any event, I went out there about a month after I bought it and tried to start it, and the battery was dead. Unbelievable. And so I called the 800 number and told them what my problem was. They were so kind and gracious and so sympathetic. They said, "We'll send you a brand new battery. The battery that's in the machine is no good." So they sent me the new battery. And once a month I go out there and I fire it up. And it starts. Dime. I also have one of those trickle chargers that Pete put me onto, and I use it to keep it charged. But imagine having a power source that never runs out, never turned off. God has invested his power in your spiritual life. It's there. That's why the apostle said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, look what he says. He says, "I can do all things through him who strengthens me." Now the word strengthen there means put his power into me. So one of the things I've learned from this verse in Philippians is learn to become an I canner. Not an I can't, but become an I canner. I can do all things through the power that is infused into my heart, into my mind. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you got to find the right investor if you're going to build, right? And he has to have the power, and our investor does. Look at this. What God expects you to attempt, he also enables you to achieve by his power. Now there's a second qualification in finding the right investor. He's got to have the power. He's got to have the goods. Number two, the investor has got to make some promises. God has both. He's got the power and he has some promises. Look at verse 4. "By which have been given to you, to us, exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." Now, if you're building a project, you've got to have an investor. Someone's got to bankroll this project. And that investor is going to have to write checks, right? As the building progresses, you need money. He's got to have checks. Now, checks are promises. That's all that they are. You really can't do anything with a check until you go to the bank or the credit union and cash it. A check has the person's name on it. He fills in the amount. Won't do you any good until you cash the check. So, here's the deal. The money in the bank, that's check that is written, that's the promises. Those are the two tools, power, promises. God has the power. He also has the promises. But the promises are only as good as the one who makes the promise, right? You can make the promise, but if you don't have the power to back it up, what's the big deal about that? So, when church is over, I could take out my checkbook, and I have it, by the way. I could write you out a check for $10,000. Meet me in the office. I can do that. And you can say, gee, Dell, thanks a lot. You go down to the bank or the credit union on Monday morning and try to cash it at the Twin Star Credit Union where I have the account, and that clerk would look at you. Who do you think old Dell is? He doesn't have that kind of money in this institution. I can make you the promise, but I don't have the power to back it up. God has promised that we can escape from the old life of hurts and habits and hang-ups. We can get away from that. We can be set free because of God's power. And we can start traveling in a whole new direction. But you have to cash the check. You have to actually take the promise and say, I am going to apply that promise to my life. I got another question for you. How many promises of God have you stored in your memory bank? The promises is cashing the check. You know what? I've discovered that you can tell how mature a Christian is by how that person treats God's promises. Always. For example, here's a fearful, high anxiety and overload person. Panic stricken. They're a believer. And who they are? They really don't believe in the promises of God. Look at a calm believer. A confident believer who's walking through the exact same storm. But this calm believer has the assurance God is on the throne. And with God's help, by golly, we're going to get through with this. We're going to lick this. We're going to be overcomers. God has written a check. I can cash it. I can take that promise to the bank. Because there's power behind the promises of God. So, if you're going to build anything that will last, we're talking about building a life of faith that will last. You got to have the right investor, someone who makes the promises and keeps the promises. Look what he says. He says, great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. You know why they are so great? Simply because they come from a great God. And they lead us to a great life. And what is the promise? At least in part. Here it is. That you would be partakers of the divine nature. Now think about that. The kind of life you have right now as a believer, what kind of a life is it? You are a partner with God. When you are born again, look what happens. The life of God gets attached to your heart, soul, and mind. So, you can live a life pleasing God. You can face your future with confidence that says, no matter what comes my way, God's power will be there, and His promises to meet all those hardships or potential problems along the way. Now, I have just two promises that's on the video screen. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. We are entering into month number 5 with little Reese and her battle with cancer. Month number 5. That's my motivational promises. We're not going through this alone. And neither do you go through your struggles alone. God is there with you. Here's another one. Here's a promise. I will never fail you. Now, how many of us have been let down by what we once thought were our friends in our relational world? Raise your hand. All of us have, I'm sure. Not God. He will never fail you. So you need the right investor, and that's the first prerequisite. How many can say, I got it? Say it, got it. You know what I'm going to do? Since you have got it, this is only the first prerequisite, and because it is so hot in here, and I only have 5 minutes, and I have to stop anyway, and I can't do justice to the second prerequisite. So we will share with you the second prerequisite next Sunday. But just keep in mind, power tools. Every construction has them. The believer has power tools. God's power, when you tap into it, you start building your life standing on the promises of God and living out on that solid rock of Jesus. Your foundation is not going to lean, but it's going to be built upon a solid foundation, a solid rock. But you got to know these things, and then you got to apply them to our lives. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the rich context that's in 2 Peter, and we're just getting started. I pray, Heavenly Father, today that you would convince all of us of our need